The hard part of test driving a Macintosh isn't taking it home. The hard part isn't plugging it in. The hard part of test driving a Macintosh isn't even learning how to use it. The hard part of taking Macintosh out for a test drive is bringing it back.
Hello, and welcome to Cassie Best 30 Plus Minute App Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Eric von Elijah. Joining me today, his favorite things include a good cup of tea, writing Apple books, and breaking chairs over the backs of patrons in a good old-fashioned pub fight. Larry Kane is here.
In that order, too.
Also with us, ever since leaving Wired to work for Cult of Mac, he's been wondering, I wonder if Wired's hiring. Lewis Wallace is here.
I'm pretty sure they are, but yeah.
That's where you came from, right? Was it Wired?
That's where I came from, yes.
That was the last place you were. Okay, I wasn't quite sure about that. And Leander lured you away with an unbelievable compensation package.
Oh, man, it was the full package. And not a lot of people say that about Leander, but...
got me the full package.
Yeah.
And you a betcha. Good old London handshake sealed the deal. Have you ever been the recipient of a London handshake, Lewis?
Oh, my. I'm afraid to Google that and find out.
Yeah, you'd be in hospital if you did.
If you did Google it, you'd be back at Wired by next week for sure. You wouldn't care what they paid you.
They're looking for an intern.
I'm the new intern, Lewis Wallace. Weren't you my boss when you were here before? Can I get you a coffee?
I make a mean cup of coffee. That's
all right. Well, we got an unbelievable show for you guys this week. I mean, I was desperate. Last week, I was thinking, I was sweating, I was nervous, and I was thinking, we got to figure something out because I keep scraping the bottom of the barrel here, and there's just nothing left but scraps. And I don't know what we're going to talk about this week, but Ming-Chi Kuo, he came through with us. He came through for us in a big way. He's been promoted in my book. He's no longer just an Apple analyst. He's an Apple demigod. He's been promoted. And he unearthed a ton of stuff to talk about this week. He's talking about what Apple's going to be announcing for next year. Well, next year, this year, it's 2019. Year. Yeah, 2019. We're talking a new...
Well, given Apple's history, though, maybe it is next year. They'll announce it, and then it won't ship until
2021. So we're talking a 16-inch MacBook Pro. We're talking iPads. We're talking a new Apple Cinema Display. AirPods, even a new iPod. This could be a year to remember. Mac Pro, what?
Nothing going.
No, that's it. That's all I had. That was all the products. What were you going to say?
The iPod, the new iPod, that made me say, like, what? Didn't you have the same reaction?
The iPad? Yes. No, not really. Because people are still buying it, and it hasn't been updated in like 14 years. So they had to do something. So I don't think it's going to be some new cool iPod redesign, drastic redesign. They're just going to make it current and make it something that they can still keep selling and you know, lining Tim Cook's pockets with. Because it still sells, clearly, for people that don't want to have a cell plan and just want to have something that carries around a ton of music. What are you going to buy if you don't have a phone? Like, iPod is the de facto music player. In fact, when they stop selling it, it's going to be the end of an era. It's going to be a sad day when they stop selling the iPod. Because it launched Apple into the stratosphere, and it was like that one step before they did the full-on iPhone. So I hope they never stop selling the iPod, Leander, ever.
Well, yeah,
you know,
does anyone buy one though?
I don't know anyone that's bought one in a long time.
Well, they must be buying them, otherwise they wouldn't be making them anymore.
Yeah, but somebody's buying them.
Someone's buying them. Yeah.
Kids, it's got to be kids or something. When was the last time you saw an iPod in the wild? I can't remember the last time. It's probably been, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. Because everyone has a phone now. Why would you need a separate music player unless you were a kid? Everyone that's not a kid has a phone.
I guess people still use them as, you know, like music servers. You know, I know people who have them in their cars, and they have them like in the glove compartment, and they're sort of permanently, you know, plugged into the stereo.
Interesting.
But I don't know. I mean, why would you really want a new one for that. I mean, I find it kind of hard to believe.
No, I don't want to carry around any more hardware than I already do. I carry around like an iPad, an iPhone, my MacBook Pro.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I've got all this stuff with me anyway.
Yeah, the whole thing made me a little like, you know, I just wondered about the whole thing.
Okay, well, don't question Ming-Chi Kuo, because the guy's never wrong. He's got a sterling
well,
record.
Well, that made me wonder, is he ever wrong? Have we ever done an analysis of when he's been right and when he's been wrong?
I don't question him, and I don't think you should either. Let's just take what he says
as
fact.
Just take it on faith. Right. Okay.
I'm a member of the faithful. I believe everything that he writes, I believe. Now, if it were Jeannie Munster, I'd be like, okay, somebody fact check this. But that's not who we're talking about. Okay, look, before we dive into... I'm not going to bury the lead this week, Lewis. I'm going straight for the 16-inch MacBook Pro news because I think this is very interesting. And I admitted on Twitter, ever since I read about this report, my nips have been at 105% of capacity. I'm going to have to call that Viagra hotline and ask how to get these things to go down because they're just stiff and they're not going anywhere. That's how excited I am about the MacBook Pro. But before we talk about that, we have to say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. It's 2019. Are you ready to finally put up that website that you've been procrastinating on? Maybe you want to start a business. Maybe you have a business. Maybe you want to be a blogger. Maybe you want to feature your artwork or your photography. Everybody needs a website to make themselves look like someone that you want to do business with online. Maybe you want to sell products online. Guess what you need to do that? A website. Squarespace.com/cultcast. I have not one, but two Squarespace websites. They make it dead simple to get up and running quickly. And not only will you have a website up fast, but their websites, they look beautiful. You can customize everything with their drag and drop system, but they have a world-class team of designers that create these templates that you can go in and use as is or customize. So you can make the website look uniquely yours if you want. And it won't look like something that you didn't custom code. They have all these smart elements that you can drop in. You can move everything around, change the pictures, change the fonts, and boom, you'll have a website that looks uniquely yours. And you can sell products, you can sell services. It integrates with Apple Pay. So if you want to accept Apple Pay, you can do that. And they're constantly adding features to the Squarespace service. And if you want to get a website up, you can go do so right now, squarespace.com/cultcast. You can use Squarespace for free for 2 weeks. Build a website, see how you like it. And if you like what you have at the end of your trial, use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll get 10% off your first order. Oh, yeah. And if you order a year of service, you'll get an additional discount. Squarespace.com/CULTCAST. Let's talk about MacBook Pros. This is big. 16-inch, maybe 16.5-inch MacBook Pro coming this year, according to Ming-Chi Kuo. So I should mention, he dropped this big report talking about everything that Apple is going to be releasing this year. And this was like the marquee thing on that report, in my opinion. He didn't say a lot about it. But if it's going to have a 16.5-inch screen, I'm thinking that the screen is going to lose the bezels. It's probably going to have the same size as the 15-inch MacBook Pro, but they're going to do the liquid retina display like they do on all the iPhones now, where it has rounded corners and all that jazz, which would be great. I like the look of the liquid crystal display on the iPhone. I think it would be a good addition to the MacBook Pro. But here's what I'm also thinking. Is Apple getting ready to make the MacBook Pro again? I think maybe. And there was a video that came out this week from Dave Lee, who is a YouTube creator. He makes lots of tech-related videos. He had a theory that I really liked. He said that Apple has basically designed themselves into a thermal corner with the current MacBook Pro design. They just can't cool the chips that are coming out. And this was a big story with the i9. A lot of you probably remember. The i9 just gets so hot that in a lot of test scenarios, it's not even able to run at its native clock speed. It has to throttle itself below its base clock speed to even be able to cool itself. That's a huge problem. And that's a 6-core chip. Well, now Intel has their 9th core or their 9th gen 8-core chips. And there's no way the current design is going to be able to handle 2 more cores. Get out of my face. Not going to happen. The entire thing's going to blow up in your lap. Or lava is going to start pouring out of the USB-C slots, you know? So he thinks that Apple is going to change the design of the MacBook Pro to allow better cooling, which would be an absolute dream come true.
Well, what does that involve? Like, you know, tons of fans, like big, really big bulked up.
I don't think it would necessarily mean lots of fans. They might need to make it thicker, though. Yeah, so it can draw more air in. And personally, I wouldn't mind if Apple built a thicker computer. I wouldn't even mind if it was heavier, quite honestly. Like, my previous 2013 MacBook Pro was 5 pounds, and I liked the size of that just fine. Now, my current one is 4 pounds, so they knocked off a whole pound. That's amazing. But one of the ways they were able to do that is to minimize this machine in such a way that the thermal performance is just not really optimal. So make it a little bit thicker. I don't know. Maybe replace the butterfly keyboard while you're in there, and use one that has a nice cushion for the push-in ratio. That's not going to have all the problems. But Ming-Chi Kuo did mention that this MacBook Pro is going to be a total redesign, which we haven't had since
2012. It's going to look like an old typewriter, you know, like with, so it have like about 2-inch travel on the keys, and then it's all going to be like open, right? Because it's for the thermal cooling, so it'll be like a chassis. There you go.
And every time you reach the end of the line, you're going to have to move your hand over and push the keyboard right back into ching place.
It'll make a nice ching as you do it.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind any of that as long as it was able to, if they gave us a machine that was able to push modern processors to their performance limits, like a lot of PC laptops do these days with the Intel chips that are out. I mean, I just bought this MacBook Pro. I would literally throw this in the garbage and never think about it again if they released one that had amazing thermal performance, a beautiful keyboard, maybe toss a couple USB-A ports on the machine. Hey, as long as we're dreaming, SD card slot on the side, Lewis.
Yeah, keep dreaming.
Right. Give me a true pro MacBook Pro. What were you going to say, Leander?
Well, yeah, you know, you're getting a bit retro here. You're going back to the past. And yeah. How much bigger difference would like an extra inch in the screen make anyway, really?
It sounds fine. I wouldn't be opposed to it. But is that the only feature that they're going to give us? Is that going to be the marquee feature? I think not. I think they got something else up their sleeves. So I'm really interested to see what they do. We should mention that the report also said that we will possibly get a 32 gigabyte option for RAM on the 13 inch MacBook Pro, and the base price, you might be wondering, how much is this thing going to cost? A mere $10,000. Unless you want one that has more than 128 gigabytes of RAM or SSD, in which case, you know, $12,000-$13,000. That's not too much, right, Lewis?
He didn't really actually mention that.
Sounds like fake news, but yeah. That's funny, as you were talking about this, I was going, geez, what's the price on this one going to be?
That's what I was wondering, too. Because, you know, for Apple's true pro machines, like the iMac Pro, base price $5,000, and the MacBook Pro is not gonna be cheap.
Five. I think you were right with the five.
That might be what it turns out to be. Yeah, $5,000.
God.
Dear Lord. If it's $5,000, I think I might pass. That might be a little bit too rich for me, but I would consider it $5,000. But if it's $6,000, $7,000, yeah. Not gonna do it for me. But
clearly not a pro.
Well, I am a pro in spirit and in heart. But not in wallet. I'm not a pro in wallets, which is where it counts with Apple. You got to be a pro at the wallet level. I mean, can you believe people are spending $10,000 on an iMac Pro? That's a lot of money. Now, if you are using a computer in a production environment and it saves you a ton of time, I totally get it. But $10,000 is something that I'm not sure I would be able to stomach just to make YouTube videos.
Yeah.
We should also mention the 31.6-inch 6K Apple display that is also in this report with mini LED backlight. Now, I don't know if this is the same as micro LED, which is the technology that Apple has been pursuing and many manufacturers of televisions have been pursuing. And this is the technology that is supposedly supposed to take over for OLED. It's supposed to be like the best of both worlds, like the best parts of LED and the best, or LCD and the best parts of OLED combined. I don't think that this is it, but it might be like a step in that direction. But a 6K display from Apple, almost 32 inches. Some of you probably remember Apple left the display market in 2016 with their outdated Thunderbolt display, but they did say they'd be back. Phil Schiller did say that they were working on an Apple display and it would come out eventually. So this is not far-fetched to think, okay, it's 2019. Phil was talking about the Apple display in 2017. They're thinking about potentially revealing the Mac Pro this year, which we'll talk about later in the show. And that would be a great component to sell alongside the Mac Pro. So another drool-inducing Apple device. I would consider a 6K display from Apple if it had the right price tag. And base price on that, $31,000. What else we got here? Lewis, let's talk about some iPads, shall we? Because that was also in the reports.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a full redo. Everything iPad getting changed. Supposedly they're going to release two new iPad Pros. Not a lot of detail on that. You know, it's probably just like faster processor or something, but because they just came out with a new design, right? Also, there's supposed to be a new 10.2-inch iPad that would be replacing the current entry-level 9.7-inch iPad. No news in this report on whether or not that's going to have the new design that the iPad Pros have and Face ID and all that good stuff. There's also talk of a, believe it or not, refreshed iPad Mini. You know, so we get a, finally get an iPad Mini 5. Now, people are saying, you know, this is not in that. That was mentioned in the Ming-Chi quote. God, I can never say his name. That was mentioned in his note. But then there's another thing saying, hey, if there is an iPad Mini 5, they're saying don't get too crazy. Don't expect like a full redesign. And this is from another, a different source, a noted leaker known as Steve Hemmerstoffer, a.k.a. On Leaks. Anyway.
You got, if you're going to say his last name, you got to say it right, Lewis.
Huh? What? I said it wrong? Hemmerstoffer?
No, no, no. It's not Hemmerstoffer. It's Hemmerstoffer.
Hemmerstoffer.
There you go. Yeah.
Hemmerstoffer.
You got to say
it
the way it was
Stephen?
Meant. You got to say it the way it was meant to be said. Thank
yeah, okay.
you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, he was talking up a CAD render that he says he has his hands on. That he said he's not 100% sure that this is the thing, but he says that he's pretty sure about the source and that there would not be a big external redesign, that basically the iPad Mini 5 is just going to get a spec bump. So, you know, if you're waiting around for a faster iPad Mini 5, well, you might be in luck. It just might look kind of familiar.
So, yeah, they're just going to make it current with modern iPad CPU, GPU, hopefully,
yeah,
it's, and give it a better camera and call it good.
It's about time. I mean, it's been, what, last time was 2015? Was the last time
has it been that long?
The iPad Mini.
That's the one. I bought that one. I can't believe I've had it that long.
The 4?
The iPad Mini 4?
Yeah.
Yes. I can't believe that it's been that many years though.
Yeah, I guess so.
Unbelievable.
That's why.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yes, Leander. Let's talk about AirPower, AirPods, because the hardware hits just keep coming. Everything's getting refreshed.
Right, yeah. So Ming-Chi chimed in on the long missing AirPower rumors and also the new AirPods. And he said they're actually going to ship in the first half of this year. And I believe, you know, they were supposed to be shipping at the end of last year, the last quarter of last year. Anyway, Ming-Chi told us now they're going to ship Apple's long awaited AirPower wireless charging mat and the new version of the AirPods with wireless charging. And upgraded Bluetooth will start shipping in the first half of this year, first half of 2019. And then back to the iPod again. He also expects that there's a new iPod Touch with a faster processor to launch in 2019. And no more details than that, just a
what?
New iPod Touch. I guess that makes
crazy.
Sense. You know, the iPod Touch was always kind of like the kid's iPhone, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I guess there's still demand for that. I know my kids, you know, that's how they started out with some iPod Touches for Christmas.
I was just thinking, so I've got kids, and there's not a chance I would give them an iPhone or anything that I had to pay a monthly fee for them to use.
Right.
But I wouldn't mind if they had an iPod Touch, something that I could use to text them and just kind of keep in touch with them throughout, you know, the day and stuff. So can you do iMessage on an iPod Touch? I don't even know. You probably can.
I think so. Yeah, doesn't it? It has a you know, it's kind of a pretty, it's a pretty capable iOS device, isn't it? I actually have one here.
Yeah, you should.
But I think it's got no battery. Hold on, let me see if I can dig it out of a box.
Yeah, because with the iPhone, I don't think that you can use iMessage unless you activate the actual phone. I'm not sure about that though. But I know that my dad had some master plan. He just got a cell phone for the first time in his life. Can you believe that? And
wow.
He's never had a cell phone in his life. And he came to me one day and he's like, "Hey, check this out." And I was like, "What?" And he pulls out a yellow iPhone XR. He got a yellow one.
Whoa.
And I was like, "Whoa, you're going for it, Dad." And he's like, "Hey, also look at this." And he pulls up his sleeve. He's wearing an Apple Watch Series 4.
No way. No way. Full on.
I was like, "Jeez. You're making up for lost time." Oh, anyway,
right into the deep end of the
pool. Yeah, he's really joined the cult of Mac.
Wow.
That's right. He was like, "Hey, do you know of any websites I can write for about Apple stuff?" And I was like, "I know just the place." But so he had some master plan. He was not going to activate his iPhone. He was just going to use it for Wi-Fi calling and that type of thing because he didn't want to have to pay a monthly fee. But we discovered that they actually don't let you do that. If you don't activate the phone, you can't actually use Wi-Fi calling. I'm not sure if you could use iMessage or not. My guess is that you can. Once you activate the phone, it probably works just fine.
As long as you sign into your Apple site.
It does? Okay.
So as long as you sign into your iPhone, iPad, or iPod. I mean, you can on your iPad. Why wouldn't you be able to on an iPod Touch?
Well, I was thinking the iPhone XR. You can't use iMessage if you don't activate the phone, but I don't think that's right. I think that you can. You just can't use Wi-Fi calling. They don't let you use Wi-Fi calling. I guess you need a phone number associated with your phone to make that work. Anyway, my dad's rolling in Apple gear now. He's like talking about getting the Mac Pro.
Awesome.
This is how it happens. You know, it's like they go all in, right? You know, new to the platforms. You want to get everything.
That's right. Well, you know, the funny part is initially he bought a $30 Android watch. And he was like, "Check out this watch. It was only $30. And I was like, "Yeah, wow. Dad, it's a piece of crap. That's why." He's like, "Look," and he's reading me the things that it can do off the features list on Amazon. This is before he got it. He's like, "It can make phone calls and it can do this and that." And I was like, "Dad, I would be shocked if it actually can do any of that stuff. It's a $30 Android watch. It's going to be a horrible turd." And of course he gets it, and it's a horrible turd. It barely works, and he can't make anything work. He doesn't even know how to set the time, so he was asking me to set it for him. And it was one of the most archaic technology experiences I've ever encountered. I could barely figure out how to even set the time. The menus, the menus looked like they were created by a Chinese engineer, you know? I mean, it didn't make any sense.
Typos and everything?
Yeah, they were like English typos and stuff. And the iconography was terrible. So he ended up returning that and then going for a $400 or $500 Apple Watch instead, which, you know, is a dream.
And how's he like that?
He loves it. He absolutely loves it. He was telling me all the stuff that he does on it. And then he pulled up his sleeve again to show me, and oh my gosh, I realized my dad's one of those people that wears his watch on the inside of his wrist.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah?
Terrible. It's an embarrassment. Yeah, I was like, "Dad, turn that thing around."
You know what he needs?
What?
He needs some new fancy bands to take your mind off that. You know, you look down, you see that fancy band, you say, "Wow, oh, I didn't even notice that it was on the wrong side of the wrist."
He can't afford fancy bands. He just bought an iPhone XR and an Apple Watch Series 4. But I'm going to tell him about store.cultomac.com. and he has it on his wrist, right? So that when he lifts his arm, he just looks at the interior of his wrist and he can see the watch there.
Yeah.
Isn't that a weird thing to do? To wear your watch there, it kind of grosses me out a little bit.
I used to wear my watch on the inside of the wrist.
Why did you do that? What's the purpose?
I don't know. Like, I got used to it. I can't remember why. Because I think I was like, it kept smashing the watch. It's a lot more protected.
Oh.
And you know, like I was working like some kind of job, I think, where I was getting the watch was getting smashed all the time. So I turned on the inside of the wrist and then got used to it.
I guess it's easier to see too when you just lift up your wrist and you can see the watch there. Anyway, but hey, I don't like the look. I like to wear it on the outside, but to each their own. I've completely forgot what we were talking about. Oh, so you mentioned iPods getting refreshed. I was talking about maybe getting one of those for my kid, but I was like, I should just buy an old iPhone. By the time she's ready to have a phone, you know, when she's 17, I'll get her an old iPhone.
Or an iPad mini.
Yeah, or an iPad mini. Let's see. Before we move on, Leander,
yes,
we should tell people how to protect their passwords and not get all of their data stolen by the Chinese government.
Or, yeah.
Or Google.
Some Russian or Lithuanian hackers.
Do you want Vladimir Putin looking at your Facebook page? No. You need to protect your passwords. Leander, tell him how.
Get Dashlane. It's an app and a service that is the best, I think, the best password manager on the Mac and on iOS. Super easy to use. So easy to use. My mom, my dear old mom, who's 74, she uses it. Totally changed her life. It's a great password manager. You know, like, I mean, if you've really got to be using a password manager. If you're not, it's very foolish. And iOS 12 now supports password managers across apps as well as websites, and so that makes it an absolute no-brainer. This is a change, you know, that they didn't have before. Before, you had to often had to copy the password from the app, and if you want to put it into a specific app,
stinky.
Yeah, it was ugly, very ugly. But now you can it'll remember your passwords in your apps and on websites, and in the apps it's kind of magical because it you know, if you enable Face ID, as soon as it sees the password field, you know, Face ID. Strikes up, it recognizes your face, fills in the passwords, you're in, bang. It's super fast, super convenient. Don't have to touch anything, type anything, remember anything. It's fantastic. All my passwords, you know, they're all these kind of gibberish. It's like, I don't know any of my passwords anymore. I only know one password, which is the password to get into Dashlane. So I've got one master password, which is, pretty good password.
What is it?
I'm
not going to say it on air. So I just remember that one password, and all the rest of them are all gibberish. You know, they're all like, you know, 18, 20, 24 letters, numbers, symbols, long. Couldn't reproduce them or remember them even if I wanted to. It's utterly fantastic.
Okay, and if you people want to check it out, they're ready to protect their passwords. They go to dashlane.com/cultofmac, right?
That's it.
Okay, so dashlane.com/cultofmac.
I'm going to say it's free. It's free for one device.
Oh, there you go.
Which is a really good deal.
Okay, yeah. Some would argue that's the best deal. It's free. So, yeah. And then if you want to sync it across devices, then they have a service that you can pay for, right?
Yeah, $4.99 a month.
Okay, there you go. Let's let's talk about the Mac Pro, because we haven't talked about the Mac Pro in a long time. And if you remember, in 2017, the Mac Pro, they had all the journalists come in and they just basically said, look, the Mac Pro, it's a big turd. We screwed up bad. We're going to fix this. And it seems like we may be at the right time for Apple to unveil a new Mac Pro. And there was a story out this week from Bloomberg, I think, that said Apple may finally give us a look at the revamped Mac Pro at WWDC 2019, which is supposed to happen, I think, June 3rd. Yeah, June 3rd. And Bloomberg is reporting that Apple has internally weighed the possibility of previewing the new Mac Pro alongside updates to macOS and iOS this year, which I'm definitely curious to see what they are working on. They put together a whole pro workflow team to tailor the Mac Pro and other products to professional users. So they have a whole team dedicated to trying to figure out what professional users want. I'm surprised that team hasn't figured out that they should add a couple of USB-A and an SD card slot ports to the new MacBook Pro. Apparently, they haven't gotten around to working on that product yet, but I hope that they do. In 2017, also, Phil Schiller said this in regards to the Mac Pro. He said, we are in the process of what we call completely rethinking the Mac Pro. We're working on it. We have a team working hard on it right now, and we want to architect it so that we can keep it fresh with regular improvements, thank God, and we're committed to making it our highest end, highest throughput desktop system designed for our demanding pro customers. And then he also said it is going to be a modular system. We will be doing, I'm quoting again, we will be doing a pro display as well. Now, you won't see any of those products this year, but we're in the process of designing them. We think it's really important to create something great for our pro customers. Okay, so on and so forth. A modular system. So there was a story that came out, I think it was today actually, about what this modular system may be like. And I have to admit, I'm not sure what the heck I think about this. Next MacBook Pro may use a stackable design for ultimate customization. And by
like
stackable...
It's a Lego Pro?
It literally looks like... Now, we don't know what it's going to look like, but what it could look like is a stack of iMac minis. So the idea is... Or not iMac minis, Mac minis. The idea is that there are going to be different modules contained within the stackable boxes, and then you can get the boxes that you want and then stack them. And there's supposed to be like a connectivity port on the top and bottom of each computer. And then they can all communicate with each other. Dear Lord, I hope this is not it.
It's really ringing, reminding me of something, but I can't put my finger on what it is. You know, like I know people have tried these before.
Have they? It just seems, if this is it, that just this just seems wildly over-architected. And I was hoping, and I'm sure I'm not alone here, that it was going to look more like their G5 or their G4 tower. It would just be a tower, and you could exchange components internally like you can with other computers.
Well, you can, I just did a quick search, and you can do them here. Acer does one, the Revo. It's a stackable computer, and it looks like kind of like, you know, like I was thinking when you were describing it, like a bento box, you know, where you stack these things on top, and that's exactly what it is. It's square,
yeah,
and you stack components on top of each other.
Okay.
It seems really bizarre. This is like nothing like Apple has ever done before. I mean, you can see that from Acer, but not
Apple.
Not from Apple. I mean, Apple's completely opposite, really, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, and so this may end up just being one of those wacky rumors that we see from time to time. But yeah, I hope it's not this. This would literally, if they did unveil something like this, this would be, and I always come back to this episode because it was such an iconic episode of The Simpsons where Homer reveals the Homer car because his brother let him design a car because his brother was some, he discovers he has a brother. And then his brother is some high-powered automobile executive, and he's so happy to have found his brother that he's like trying to bring Homer into the family business to like help run this car company. He's like, Homer, you should design a car. And then they finally unveil it, and it's like the most preposterous, absurd thing that you've ever seen. And it was so bad that his brother loses his executive job, and the entire company goes out of business. That's what I kind of think about when I see this stackable design. It just seems bizarre. Well, and over-architected.
Kind of makes sense, though.
I know they've done design studies of these back, but way, way back. I know that, you know, like, I'm pretty sure Johnny Ive did some stuff. His first project, I think, for Apple, when he was still a consultant, I think, was like a modular computer, if I remember rightly.
Oh, it was. Oh, no. There's precedent.
Yeah. They never made it, but it was like a design, you know, exercise. I wonder if he's dusting off his, like, he's so, I guess he's out of ideas, right? So he's dusting off the old.
He busted out the old sketchbook. And he's like, I remember this one.
Yeah, we never made this.
Drinking champagne at 2 like, in the morning, flipping through the old books, the sketches.
Steve Jobs told me no, but he's not here now.
It's Steve, yeah. I'm sorry, Steve. You laughed at this.
Oh, no, you might be right. That was one of the things. That's one of the things about Johnny Ive. I feel like he needs the Steve Jobs presence to be like, just calm down, Johnny. Like, this is actually pretty crazy. Let's not go with this one. Let's do something a little bit more reasonable. Oh, no. I mean, from an engineering perspective, I don't know if that's the right word. This does kind of make sense. It's, you know, you just buy the components that you need and you just slap them together. But think of all the additional expense that will be involved in buying all these little boxes that need to contain all the specific pieces of hardware that you want to be using.
Right. Perfect
it's
for
like,
Apple.
What?
Just perfect.
I know. It could get real expensive real quick, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know if they care about that. I mean, Mac
that's
Pro
the whole
is,
idea.
Yeah, that's probably why. Yeah, exactly. There you go. He was like, oh, this is a great idea. We could charge $1,000
per
box.
With some USB-A connectors on it. And
there you go.
The Irfan box.
The USB-A box. It's only $600 right. for some USB-A ports. Oh, you want the SD card slot box? No problem. Yeah, $500. Right. It's just one box with an SD card slot right in the middle.
With a tiny little slot in it, yeah.
That's where the CD goes? That's the SD card box. $500.
Yeah, but by the time you got everything, it's like a teetering tower of like 7 foot tall.
Oh my gosh. Oh no. Oh no, now I'm actually worried. This can't be it. This can't be it. I'll of course put the link to this story in the show notes if you guys want to see an illustration of what this design could look like. Dear Lord, I hope that they just come out with a tower. Just give us a tower. That's really all it needs to be. The G4, the G5, they were such beautiful computers. Give us something that we can pull out the GPU, we can pull out the hard drives, maybe even change the CPU. I know that sounds crazy, but that's something that you can do in the PC world very easily. Change out the RAM. Just make it moderately expandable and sell Apple branded components. This would work. Just sell a beautiful stick of RAM with an Apple design on it, and people would buy those. People love OEM products. They'll just buy that stuff, and you can make a whole bunch of money that way because people are going to get nervous. Some people won't want to buy third-party products. They'll only buy Apple-branded products. It's like people who buy parts for their upscale cars, right? They have to have the OEM BMW parts because they want to make sure that everything plays nice their BMW. Apple can make a killing doing that. But let's hope that this is not it. Okay, should we talk about the Samsung stuff real fast, Lewis, before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think we got to, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And before we do that, I totally forgot to mention. I need to mention, we need your help. We have a survey that we're doing right now, and we do this once a year, and it's really helpful if you guys wouldn't mind taking a couple minutes to fill out the survey. You know that we do ads on the show. It's how we keep the show running. It's how we keep this tight ship going. And in order to find advertisers, we need to know who our listeners are. Now, there's many things I know about all of you. You're incredibly sexy, incredibly intelligent. You're probably fast. You could probably beat someone in a race. But we need to know.
Right. A race of what? The Apple Store? To buy a modular computer?
But what we also need to know is some other demographic data about you. You know, how long is your goatee? That type of thing. And so once a year, we do this survey, and it allows us to collect some anonymous data. It's fully anonymous. No one's going to know who you are, but it allows our advertisers to know who they're talking to, and it helps us figure out which ads to take, which ads not to take. You know, do we need to be talking more about Barbie dolls on this show, or do we need to be talking more about beard oil? Well, the only way to know is if we know who's listening. So if you would be so kind as to help us out, go to podsurvey.com/cult. Podsurvey, podsurvey.com/cult. Take a quick anonymous survey. Help us to get to know you a little bit better. And once you've completed the survey, you can choose to enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card at podsurvey.com/cult. Terms and conditions do apply. We really appreciate everyone's help. Last year, we had a huge response, and we had like tens upon thousands of people go do the survey. We had tens of people go okay. Do the survey.
Okay, cool.
And that really helped us out a lot. So podsurvey.com/cult. Let's start with the marquee announcement today from Samsung. Samsung Galaxy Fold. I don't even know if you guys have heard about this yet. This is a wild new phone from Samsung. I wasn't even sure this was real until I saw the trailer, and I was like, this is honest to goodness a device that they're making. It is a foldable phone, and I'll put a link to the trailer in the show notes. I clown on Samsung a lot, but I was impressed when I saw this trailer. It looks like a new and novel phone in a world of sameness, in a sea of sameness, where all the phones kind of look the same. This is actually something that is unlike anything that I have seen before. We don't know very much about it. I also kind of am curious how thick it is, because it looks like when it's folded, it looks like it might be kind of chunky and fat. But it has like an actual folding screen. Like if you think about your wallet, you open your wallet, and there's two sides. It's just like that, except it's just all screen. It's a giant phablet-type phone, except when it's closed, it's slim and sleek and beautiful. And I was like, okay, well played. Well played, Samsung. But then I got to thinking, this is actually really not that impressive, because you know when Apple releases the next iPhone, they got some big features planned. I mean, it's not going to have just two cameras this year, Lewis. It's going to have three.
Yeah, three.
You know? Actually, I heard that Galaxy Fold is going to have 6 cameras.
Yeah, that's twice as many, you know.
that's almost literally twice as many.
Yeah.
So
I'm not a math whiz, but I think it's close to twice.
But did you, speaking of twice, it's also twice the price. Did you catch the price on this?
I mean,
that is
it's kind of, it's interesting, but it looks totally like a prototype. It looks like something that Apple, you know, that Johnny Ive and his designer geek friends have made in the lab, you know, and they're tinkering around with it, but wouldn't release to the public.
Well, this is going on sale. This is going on sale. It's going to be $2,000.
Because it's just, it's too thick, and it seems, it's definitely going to be, I think it looks too thick. It just looks like they haven't slimmed it down enough. Like you said, when you fold it over, it's like a big fat sandwich. You know, it's definitely
going to be pocketable. Ice cream sandwich.
It's not going to be any good. Like, it's interesting when you fold it out. But it seems kind of unusable when you have it folded over, you know. So when it's folded over, it doesn't look like it's going to be. It looks like it's going to have all the, you know, it's going to be fat and thick and you kind of go, you know, I don't know, you know, is it really? I'm not really sure that I don't think there's a market for this. I think, like, I was almost thinking like this is cool, but here's a disaster. No one's going to buy this. Like, you're watching like a product that's cool and interesting, but is not going to take off.
It's not actually practical anywhere.
No, it's a cool idea, but I don't think it has and I don't think it's going to work until it's really thin.
Yeah, it has to be extremely thin. I agree with you. But I was thinking of a lot of the same criticisms, and I thought to myself, my God, do you know who I sound like? I sound like Steve Ballmer when he first saw the iPhone and he was asked to comment about it. He was like, $600? Who's going to pay $600? Yeah. It doesn't even support Microsoft Word. That's who I was thinking of.
Doesn't have a keyboard.
It doesn't even have a keyboard. Yeah, exactly. No subsidies. $600 price tag. But I do think $2,000 is a wacky price. Unless you're a sultan or an oil sheik or something. I know people always say, yeah, but you use your phone every single day. I know. But I'm not spending, personally, I am not spending $2,000 for a phone. I don't care how cool the phone is. I am not spending $2,000 on a phone. I don't even know if I would spend $1,500 on a phone. I mean, the iPhone got to be so expensive, I started thinking about the iPhone XR and decided to go that direction instead and actually omit and actually deny myself some of the features of the XS, XX, XS Max because of the price tag. So $2,000. I mean, jeez, $2,000? I mean, here I am. I just keep repeating it over and over again because I'm in disbelief.
You're right. Well, didn't Microsoft was talking about this? What was the name of that? They had a foldable one, didn't they? And did they ever make it, or was it like a concept?
I think it was just a concept. As far as I know, this is the first actual commercially available foldable phone. There have been prototypes before, but I've never seen one actually be sold before. Which is one of the reasons why I'm so impressed with this. Samsung, I'm like, those mad lads. They actually did it. They went and they made a folding phone. Sure, it's impractical. Sure, it's too expensive. Sure, it probably sucks. But but by golly, at least they tried. They did it.
It was impressive. Like when it opened up, you couldn't see the seam where the fold was on the screen. So it does, you know, I don't know. You know, like you said, we might be totally wrong, right? It might actually be really, in future generations, it may turn into something really, really cool.
I wouldn't be surprised if eventually this did become a design that people liked, because you have all that screen real estate. If it's flat, if it folds flat and actually fits in your pocket, then it kind of doubles the amount of screen real estate that you have available to you, and it doesn't take up a lot of space. I think that is an alluring feature. At least it would be to me.
Yeah.
But this one is kind of chunky. And I also wonder that the area where it folds, how many times can you unfold and fold a screen before the screen just stops working?
Yeah, right. I wonder if it's going to like kind of crease marks, so it'll degrade the screen where the fold is.
Or something, right? I mean, you have a piece of glass that's being folded over and over and over and over again.
It must be plastic, right?
Oh, maybe it's plastic. I just presumed it was glass, but yeah.
That's another good thing. If all the screens are glass, you know, I wonder if it's going to be susceptible to scratching.
Yeah, I don't know. So there's clearly a lot of questions around this phone. I mean, they just announced it like 2 hours ago, so we don't really know very much. But I was like, holy smokes, this is something that's new and actually cool from Samsung, and not just some dumb gimmicky feature that clearly no one's ever going to use. One of the other things they announced, I think this is in their Samsung Galaxy S10. I think they put a fingerprint reader under the screen.
Right, and you don't have to hit any target. You can just put your finger on the screen anywhere and it'll work.
This is something that I would love to see Apple steal and put in the phone. I mean, I love Face ID.
Oh, really? Don't you like Face ID?
I do love it, yeah. I do love it. I mean, in addition to Face ID.
Why do you want an addition? When it doesn't work?
I just think it would be nice to be able to unlock your phone without having to look directly at it. Like, there have been instances where I don't have my face directly above my phone, and I try to unlock it, and it doesn't unlock.
Yeah.
Then I have to go, like, push my face above it.
Well,
it's a minor inconvenience.
Right, yeah, yeah. But, on the iPad, the new iPad, the field of view is actually pretty wide. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of do that with the iPad. It can be kind of sitting down on your lap or on a table, and it'll recognize your face.
Interesting. I only ever use my iPad in bed. It's basically just become my TikTok machine. So
That's the one place I find it doesn't really work, actually, is in bed, when you kind of have it on your chest.
Oh, it works for me, yeah.
I think because often my hand is covering up the camera.
it's because you're shielding the screen from right. from your wife who's sleeping next to you. You don't want to see the content of your screen. That's what's going on.
Yeah. I know, yeah, that doesn't help, right.
Lewis, what other things are noteworthy from the announcements that they made? Because you watched the whole thing, right? You sat through the whole thing.
Yeah. Speaking about that folding phone, I mean, yeah, that thing, I mean, it does look thick, but it did look kind of amazing. I mean, the screen looked pretty cool. The thing that I thought about while I was watching that was just like, it seemed like the guy kept, you know, who's demoing, he just like kind of kept fumbling with it, you know, and it made me think, yeah, geez, you know, okay, well, you get a link from somebody, oh, here's a video, and like, oh, I want to watch it full screen. You flip it open, you flip it over, and then, you know, I don't know. I thought it was a cool looking device, but I wondered in my life how often I would actually do that because, you know, I mean, I like the smaller phone in the first place. I don't need like something even bigger. And well, I guess it wasn't bigger in its folded up thing, but it's like even more unwieldy than trying to use a big phone, right? Because now you got a phone that folds. How long does it take it for the thing to get like loosey goosey, right? In addition to what does it do to the screen? Anyway, I felt the same way as you guys about that. It's like it's cool and interesting. Don't know how usable it is. But then when you get back to the more real-world phones, they did have... I thought that... By the way, that was ultrasonic fingerprint scanning. That's what it is.
Oh, ultrasonic. My bad. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. I just want to mention
it. Cool. Yeah.
Sounds amazing, doesn't it? Looked pretty amazing. And I agree with Irfan. I would love to be able to have that... That in addition to Face ID, because there are definitely times where, you know, it's really dark or, you know, for instance, I don't have my glasses on or you got a motorcycle helmet on or something like that, right? There are times when you want to unlock your phone and Face ID doesn't work. Not because it's faulty, but because...
Bad angle or something.
It just, you know, there's something, you know, some other thing is at play and your face isn't normal, right? Anyway.
Leander's nodding in approval.
Isn't normal or isn't visible or visible, whatever. I mean, you know, wearing a helmet, your face isn't normal. You got your luchador mask on. He can't unlock your Face ID.
When you have one of those rubber balls in your mouth, the leather straps that go around your head. Yeah.
Exactly.
Never wants to unlock.
You can't say Siri unlock.
When I'm in my GIMP outfit, it never unlocks, even when I train it to have the secondary look. It just never notices who I am.
God. Okay, so in the Galaxy S10 phones, they do have this feature. I thought this was totally awesome. It's a wireless power sharing thing. And so basically, you flip the phone over, and it becomes a wireless charging pad. So you can charge, for instance, the Galaxy Buds, which is their AirPods competitor, you can charge it on the back of your phone.
That's pretty awesome. Cool. I saw that.
And it's supposedly that kind of feature might be coming to the 2019 iPhone lineup. I hope it does, because honestly, that would be great. I can't tell you how many times I just am sitting my AirPods on top of my phone and going, geez, I wish it was charging right now. Let's see. They also, in that Galaxy Fold, you know, they've got 3-app multitasking, so you could have 3 different apps, you know, on that big folding screen, all working at once, which, you know, I can see how that could be useful on that big of a screen. People are, it's one of the things that we're always, you know, kind of complaining about, the limitations of iOS on the giant iPad Pro, right? So, let's see, triple camera. Yeah, okay, whatever, I don't know. I've already said, you know, I'm so happy with the way the cameras are. Although, you know, one thing that they did have was an ultra-wide camera. That's what the third lens, the triple rear camera has.
Oh, so that's what the third camera is? It's ultra-wide?
Yeah, ultra-wide. That could be handy. Yeah, so like now your panoramas are even more panoramic.
I mean, you always need wide angle. You're in situations where you just need to back out. I mean, how many times have you been trying to take a picture and you had to back up? So wide angle, ultra wide angle would actually be useful.
Yeah, yeah. So that'd be cool. Yeah. I don't know. Those are the main things, really. excuse me.
You're reading from the piece on Cult to Mac, right? The 6 features that Apple should steal from Samsung?
Yeah. 6 okay, ways good. Samsung just leapfrogged Apple.
Ooh, leapfrog. Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. One thing they did not leapfrog Apple in is in their presentation. I mean, it was... I don't know. Like I said, there's a lot of fumbling around. It was, I don't know, though. You know, they definitely rolled out a ton of hardware. I mean, as I was watching, I was like, gee whiz, when was the last time we got this much stuff from Apple? But, you know, maybe that's what's coming down the pike. I mean, almost the same week, you know, we get this stuff saying, look, they're going to redo everything, right? So maybe this is just going to be a good year for hardware in general.
This could be a good year for hardware in general. This could be a good year for Macs. I mean, you got to think. We're due for new iMacs. I mean, the iMac Pro. The iMac hasn't been updated since June of 2017. June of 2017. I think that they're waiting to update it. They want to update the iMac Pro at the same time because I have a feeling that they don't want to make the iMac more powerful than the iMac Pro, so they have to do them both at the same time. So they have intrinsically linked these two products now. They have to be updated at the same time, or the iMac Pro has to be updated before the iMac. And then we're going to be getting a new MacBook Pro, possibly the Mac Pro. I mean, this is going to be an unreal year for hardware. Finally! Finally!
yeah, I love it. Exciting.
Yeah. It isn't, let's hope it isn't exciting. Yeah, let's hope.
We need this. Come on, Tim. We need this so bad. And by we, I mean us on this show specifically. I need you to refill the barrel, Tim. Please, God. Give us something to talk about. Okay. Before I get... Before I beg anymore, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. But the conversation continues. We're all on Twitter. We're so funny. We're so witty. And if you want to come partake of any of that wittiness, come say hi. I'm at AirPod.
Andrew's
at L. Kenny. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. And you can also chat us up about any of the stories we mentioned today on the show. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I just pointed and winked at my screen when I did that.
I could hear it in your voice.
Could you?
Yeah.
That's something I do a lot when I'm greeting people. It's an effective communication. Do you ever do that? Did you?
You betcha.
There you go. See? I'm feeling one of you guys today.
That thing, you know, like that sentence there, you know, at least, that's based on an alleged CAD render shared by noted leaker, blah, blah, blah. Well, he hasn't shared the image. It's like, oh, did he share it or didn't he share it? And by the way, if you ever use the word share again, I'm going to fly to the UK and break your fingers. I hate that word.
Noted. Don't use the word share.
It's not, okay.
But she's my favorite artist. What do I do? Let's see here. Okay.
I've been shared. Is that a butt lift and a facelift?